in the vine or in the body? That's the question. And here's Mark Rumfellow.
Well, we have been discussing, I've titled the thing Out Grace. I don't know if it would be terribly appropriate in the title, but it I somehow want to, as an end result of the message, show you the importance of the grace that we have today. And if I can do it, then it come out just right. If not, it's like cooking. Call Domino's. But anyhow, we want to look at some differences here because there's differences in the Bible. And the truth is, preachers today do not acknowledge the differences in the Bible. They do not teach it, and they do not preach it. And I was talking to someone, I forgot who, but we were discussing, I used to get asked years ago, well, Mark, do you think these preachers are preaching incorrectly on purpose, or do you think they're just ignorant of the truth? And I've come to a point, and not talking in an absolute here, but I've come to a point of realizing that they're doing this purposefully in order that they can make a gain for themselves. In other words, they're denying the truth of the Word of God. You cannot read this book and not rightly divide it and act like when you're in front of thousands of people that it makes sense, because it doesn't. If you don't rightly divide it, it is a very confusing book. And you got the land full of confusion today. I mean, that's just how it is. People are, well, I don't know how this works. I don't know how this is incorporated in my life. Well, you've got to rightly divide it. You've got to see that there's different groups of people, there's different times, and there's different covenants, workings of God, manifold wisdoms that are dealing with mankind today. So we're going to look at a couple different things. Look in John chapter 15. Now, we covered this for the many of you that weren't here on Wednesday night. We covered this, and we are still having Wednesday night study here at the church at 7 o'clock. You're welcome. There is no... We're not pre-advanced selling tickets to it. It's free. You can come, just walk in that door and grab your seat. So anyhow, we covered some of this Wednesday night, and I thought, to really show the grace of God, I could apply it today and carry some of the things over today that we covered Wednesday night. In John 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, I've heard so many messages about this, about abiding in Jesus. You need to abide in Jesus, abide in Jesus, for he's the vine, you're the branches, abide in him. And, you know, you look at this and it's very simplistic. You know, the Lord wasn't complicated when he talked to people. He didn't go off into these deep, dark, secret, learned things that he could have, but he talked down to the level of mankind. And he's just dealing there with a vine. He is the true vine, it says, and branches, individuals that are attached, if you will, to the vine. Now, if you take the vine and you attach the branches, you're going to get something, and you can see what you get over in Isaiah chapter 5. Look back in Isaiah chapter 5. Now, we're going to just jump right into the middle of the context of all this. And in Isaiah 5, verse 4, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes, and now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the heads thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Now watch. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression; for righteousness, but behold a cry. So here we see in verse 7, the vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. Well, I see something back in John. I see that there's a vine there, and there are branches put there, and that is going to make the vineyard. Well, the vineyard, my friends, is the house of Israel. It is not the Gentile nations. It is not the church. And most preachers, I was watching one this morning talking about the church, and he doesn't have a clue as to what he's talking about. So you have the vine over here. It's going to make up a vineyard, which is Israel. Israel. Now, back in John 15... Now, how in the world can a man that claims to be so learned in the Scripture to such a point that he finally got the word doctor in front of his name preach this and preach it like he believes it? Because he's not sincere. For instance, verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, at this fellowship, we don't play around with words here. We believe the words mean what they say. And in verse 7 there, it says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Not might, not could, not if you have enough faith or you don't sin. It says, it shall be done unto you. Now, have you ever asked of the Lord to do something for you and it didn't come to pass? Anybody else besides Mike, or is Mike the only sinner in here? I've asked the Lord to do a lot of things in my life. Ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Well, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that will take place. What you ask, it shall be done unto you. Well, there is a truth, but it isn't working today. And the reason why it isn't working today is because God is not dealing with the vine and the vineyard or Israel in that context. That's not who He is dealing with today. Look at this thing also. Look back in Isaiah. We'll go back there and look this time in chapter 60. Isaiah 60, look in verse 21, Isaiah 60, we're just going to go in here for one verse, Isaiah 60, verse 21, thy people also shall be all righteous, they shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. We're going to go back to John 15, but I want you to go to 1 Peter now. Turn over to 1 Peter. And look in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Well, I see some descriptions there that Peter is addressing these people. They're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a what, folks? A holy nation. Well, there's the vineyard, a peculiar people. In other words, those that were joined to the vine here made up this vineyard. It's Israel. And they're going to come forth out of here, and they're going to wind up being a new nation over here under the ministry of Peter. In other words, there'll be more brought into this thing through the preaching of Peter after Jesus Christ was crucified. Now, back in John 15, there's a condition here. And my friends, when God dealt with Israel, there were always conditions. Always conditions there. It's like, if you do this, I'll do that. If you don't do this, I won't do that. I will bless you if you do this. If you don't do it, I will curse you. Those things run throughout the entirety of the law of Moses. And you see in verse 2, 15 verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Well, then what's going to be the end result of them? Go to verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In other words, there's a lot of fire coming from the bad production of this vineyard. And those that are not productive, don't bear fruit, they're cast off, and they are burned. There's no repentance. There's no turning away from your sins. They are burned. They're cast out. So those that are in the vineyard, God pruneth them. He cuts them back so they'll produce more fruit. And folks, you don't want to be pruned. Jesus Christ was pruned. He went through the temptation. He went through the trials. And the end result is he brought forth the fruit, which is everlasting life, to all that believe. These people have got to endure the pruning that God is going to put them through. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. These things start to add up and they start to make sense when you put them in the proper context. For instance, one that is totally taken out of context is Hebrews chapter 6. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Every time I've talked to anybody about salvation and they say you can lose your salvation, they always go to Hebrews 6. Verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Now that's all interesting, and they use that saying, you see, once you trust in Jesus, you can't turn away. Because if you turn away, it is impossible that you be renewed again unto repentance, seeing that you crucified the Son of God. Well, folks, the writer of Hebrews, regardless of who it is, although it is not Paul, is in the same doctrinal teaching as Jesus Christ and Peter. And make no mistake about it. It's interesting they always stop at that verse. Let's go to the next verse. Let's try verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receive blessings from God. Now watch this. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. There's that burning again. Well, it's the same as with the branches that don't produce the fruit. What happens to them according to John 15? They're going to be burned. These people that turn from the Lord under the preaching here of Jesus Christ, then later Peter, those that turn from it are going to wind up being burned. There is no repentance for them. There is no turning around. There is no second chance for them. Boy, Peter's ministry sure looks great today, doesn't it? Real impressive, isn't it? Is that what you want? Something where one slip one fall, one fading away, and you're done? I don't want it. I don't want it. Then why in the world do we allow preachers to stand up and make these types of messages as if they apply today? You run across people that go to other fellowships that teach this type thing. Stand up to them. They don't know what they're talking about. I mean, come on, folks. It's like taking candy from a baby. You have to listen to the crying, but they'll never beat you up. I mean, if you know some scripture, just take them on. It's not difficult. The writer of Hebrews has a condition on salvation. The Lord had a condition on salvation. I was watching a preacher. I mentioned this once again on Wednesday night. This preacher is preaching out of Deuteronomy. Turn back to Deuteronomy. And it's one of these prosperity messages. You know what I mean? It's one of these, you can have it, you're going to get it. Don't you want it? One of those type messages. And so he's in Deuteronomy 6. And folks, he jumps right in the middle of this thing and he doesn't give a heads up to what is before or what's after. He is interested in verses 10 and 11. 6, 10 and 11. Chapter 6, verse 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. And so he goes, how many of you want a city that you didn't build, a house that you didn't build, a well that you didn't dig, vineyards and olive groves that you didn't plant? How many of you want that? And 3,000 people in there, yeah, I want that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he could have sat up there and said, how many wants a vial of, what's that? Arsenic. Forgot what it was. How many wants a vial of arsenic? Yeah, I do. You're giving it away, sure. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, folks. What would it be that you get a well that you didn't dig? How many people in here have a well that you haven't dug? Now, wait a minute. Everybody. Where do you think your water comes from? Comes from a well. Did you dig it? I can't even get you guys to do what they're doing, and they're being taught wrong. How many of you want a well that you didn't dig? Yeah, I did too. You see, I mean, look, the guy, if you just had an ounce of common sense, you're thinking, all right, I know what a well is, and you're asking me if I want one and I don't have to dig it. I just think, what is a well to you? Are we on the same page? How about a house that I didn't build? Guess what? How many of you live in a house you didn't build? How about a vineyard you didn't plant? How many of you have that? Just raise your hand. Trust me for once. Wait. It's called the grocery store. I mean, this guy couldn't miss. He's right either way, you see. But the truth of the fact is, they didn't have Baton Rouge Water Company back then. They didn't have John Doe's construction, home construction back then. They didn't have the farmer's market back then. They had to do all this. And I got to thinking, how hard do you think it was to dig a well? Just think about it a minute. No hydraulics, no bore machines. How deep you got to go in Afghanistan to get water, Gil? I mean, I bet you need a shovel about 300 foot long, huh, to get down there. That had to be a job, man. But these are all promises here. Oh, it's all so fun. Oh, he preaches a great message about you can have this, that, and the other. And then Sean and I were laughing because the next verse he never touches. Verse 12. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth. And he goes on about don't go after other gods and the whole conditional thing. And we're not going to read the entirety of it all, but it's a conditional thing. You want the wells that you don't dig, the house you don't build, the city you hadn't built, the vineyard you didn't plant? Believe in the Lord is what he's saying. And all of these will come unto you. And they could have it. On the other hand, if you turn, you're out there. You're going to wither and be burned. And folks, that burned isn't an illustration of spiritually just not producing. We talk about burning. Fire. No hypotheticals there. Fire. On the other hand, look in Colossians. There's just no telling how, I mean, sometimes you can go into these things so long that you can forget the central thought of it all. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 12. Colossians 1 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And verse 12 is loaded with good stuff for you, folks. It packs all the vitamins you need. Verse 13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now watch this. And he, a reference to Christ, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Then I see by the writings of Paul that Jesus Christ over here becomes the head. Well, what is he the head over? It says the church, but it turns out to be descriptive of the body. The body. Over here, he's the vine. Branches put in there that made a vineyard. This is Israel. My vineyard is the house of Israel. Over here is the head, Jesus Christ. The body is the believers that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this thing is made up as described in Titus. Look in Titus. In Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to who?
All men.
Nation over here, Israel. The vine, the Lord, the vineyard, Israel. Over here, Christ is now the head, body, people that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it goes out to all men. It's not a nation anymore. It's all men can hear and believe the truth that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again. You see, that's the grace of God that brings us salvation, folks. That grace was not over here. Now, I'm not saying grace was not over here. I said that grace was not over here, for we Gentiles could have never been a part of this vine. There were Gentiles now. Listen to me. There were Gentiles that could be associated with this, and you know what they get from Israel, the vineyard here? They get the crumbs. And it doesn't matter whether they're circumcised or uncircumcised. If they believe in the God of Israel, they get crumbs. They get part of what falls from the master's table. But we Gentiles, us, we had no hope. See, there's an entirety of Gentiles out there that had nothing to do with Israel except curse and make war with them and kill them and hate their God. And this nation is picked up on the Bible and by preaching thinks that it is a nation that would bless Israel? Ha! No. Not hardly. You can't bless that nation anymore. It's not one. It's broken up. It's scattered. There will be a new one, though. But right now, there's a body forming out there, and the head of it is Jesus Christ, and it's the people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Many of you are familiar with this. Good. We need to be familiar with these things. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For there's one Spirit, and we're all baptized into that one body. So we're made up as a body. And folks, the truth of this body can be told in 1 Timothy. Let's go to, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy. I'm trying to rush this thing on a little bit here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It's a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now, that also is used many times for how you can lose your salvation. Well, let's look at it. Just take our time a little bit here and look at these verses. Verse 11, it's a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Folks, when an individual trusts in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we have been baptized into his death, and that is not symbolic by water. It was literally done by the Spirit of God putting us into the death of Jesus Christ. The Spirit has baptized us into the death of Jesus Christ and has, by the Spirit, baptized us into the grave, into burial, and by the Spirit has quickened us with Christ. Therefore, we live by the faith of the Son of God. We have our life today. So the verse 11, it's a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Once again, if we're dead with him, which we have been by faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says we, not might, not maybe, not could, not should, not if you have enough faith, not if you have a little sin, but we shall live with him. Make no mistake about it. When you trust in Jesus Christ, the word shall will pop up in your life in that you shall live with him. Not might, not maybe, not be cast off and burned. You shall live with him. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign. Therefore, those that are in the body that suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ wind up reigning with him. It didn't say living with him. It says reign. Has to do with a position. Reign with him. But the end of that verse, 12, if we deny him, he also will deny us. Not deny the life that we're going to live. Not deny eternal life. The context of verse 12 is the reign. If we deny him, he will deny us the reign. You got to have the context of verse 12. Not if you deny him, he's going to deny you from coming through the pearly gates. He's not going to deny you. If you be dead with him, live. But if you suffer for him, You're going to reign. And that ought to be a goal of everyone in here. I mean, to suffer a little bit, folks, doesn't hurt. It's just a short time frame and we're out of here. It cannot be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. So then, the reward is a reigning position with the head over all creation. Everything, not just the body, over all principality and power. Things present, things to come, dominions and everything else. A reigning with that. Look at the payoff that thing. I mean, you're talking Powerball. You didn't even have to buy a ticket and the odds aren't 1.8 billion to 1 either. All you have to do is suffer. Stand. Take a stand for the Lord if you believe in Him. Tell these people that don't have the truth of the Word and go, I am the true vine, he that abideth in me and I in him, and all that garbage I hear all the time. If you suffer, you go reign. But if you deny Him, He's going to deny you the reign. You're not going to reign. You're going to live with Him, but you're not going to reign. And verse 13 just hammers it right home. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. If we believe not, in other words, if an individual puts their trust in Jesus Christ, they're part of the body, a literal body of Christ. If that individual then, through many times persecution, particularly in the early ages of the church, deny the Lord, if they believe not, He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Well, Himself involves both the head and the body. He cannot deny you. Did you know that word denies carries the understanding of contradict? Or here's a biggie, to disown. If we believe not, He abideth faithful, He cannot disown you. You're locked up, sealed up, airtight, ready for shipment, folks. Ready to get out. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. We're sealed. We're ready. And even when we reach a point of believing not, isn't it great how the verse says, He abideth faithful. He abideth faithful. Think about it. We waver. We get weak. We slip. I mean, we're not always, you know, two revolvers on the hip charging the devil, riding into town and putting them in the holster. There are times, you know, you get up on Sunday morning and you're like, oh, we got church. Oh, we got to go to church. Is that just me? Yeah, okay. I mean, we just don't spring out of bed, if you know what I mean, to burn our tracks up here and drive at 70 in an air-conditioned car to come to church, which is comfortably air-conditioned. We don't take advantage of a time where the Lord opens a door and we can walk in there and witness to somebody, and we know it within our spirit there's the opportunity, and we turn from it. We don't take a stand when a group of men is criticizing and ridiculing our Lord and Savior to stand up for Him and be an outcast amongst them for the Lord's sake. But let me tell you something, folks, in all the shortcomings of faith that we have, He abideth faithful. He cannot deny you. He can't deny His body. It's part of Him. He can't disown you. Folks, no wonder we believe in eternal security. Paul's writings reek of eternal security.
You go outside of Paul's writing, and it's you better keep, you better do, you better watch out, you better beware. And all of those things, else you'll lose it. You'll get burned. You'll cast off. I mean, don't tell me that preachers who stand up there and say, I've been preaching at this church for 30 years, can't see the differences in this book. Sure they can. They just roar steamroll right over them. You know why? Because they never get challenged on it. They never get challenged on it. Anytime you get in a conversation, well, you know, we don't take things so seriously as y'all. Well, you better. You know, y'all split hairs. Well, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, y'all just look at the little things. Paul said he magnified his office. Apparently there's a looking glass there to expand it. Sometimes you just feel like, all right, let the world go to hell. I'm safe. I mean, you ever feel that way? Hey, guys, y'all want it? Go ahead. Go ahead. Have fun. Do your thing. Reject it. But, you know, that's just the flesh talking. Because in all truth, you got to continue in getting the gospel out there. You got to invite people to church. You got to talk to people when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. You've got to do it. And as much as sometimes it is very difficult to do, just remember that if you suffer for it, you will reign. That's good news on top of good news. Don't get any better than that, folks. Gives you the opportunity to have everlasting life and then reign with the Creator of all things. But you can't live with Him if you haven't trusted in Him. And you need to examine yourself. I don't know your hearts. I don't know what you believe deep down inside. I don't know if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ. You may have an understanding of Him and know the truths of Jesus Christ dying for your sin, know the truth of Him being dead and raised again. But have you put your trust in Him? I know I have. And that's the only one that I know. Have you? Don't let today go without trusting in the Lord so that you could have eternal life.